Chapter 2. And we're going to read from verse 41. Luke chapter 2, and we're going to start reading from verse 41. And the word of God says, "So when they had performed all things according to the law of the Lord, they returned." Oh, I'm sorry. Okay. I'm kind of lost here, right? Luke chapter 2. Yes, that's right, 41. His parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem according to the custom of the feast. When they had finished the days, as they returned, the boy Jesus lingered behind in Jerusalem. And Joseph and his mother did not know it. But supposing him to have been in the company, they went a day's journey and sought him among their relatives and acquaintances. So when they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem seeking him. So it was that after 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of teachers, both listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. So when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said to him, 'Son, why have you done this to us? Look, your father and I have sought you anxiously.' And he said to them, 'Why did you seek me? Did you not know that I must be about my father's business?' But they did not understand the statement which he spoke to them." You know, the gospel doesn't say much about, you know, the infancy of Jesus, his childhood. There's a huge gap in the life of Jesus. We see him as a baby when he's born. We see him when he's presented at the temple. And then we don't hear anything else until he's 12 years old. And now when he's 12 years old, we just hear this. And after that, he returns to Jerusalem. And we don't hear anything until he is an adult. And we all wish we could know and relate to to this child Jesus, to this young boy, and probably Jesus as a teenager, as a young adult. How would Jesus behave, in different situations of life? But what we have in the Word of God is enough for us to know that Jesus is a normal 12-year-old boy. Is there any 12-year-old boy here with us this morning? Let me see. Just me? I'm the only one? They're downstairs. I'm going to preach another sermon then. But we have many downstairs, and probably you have a son, a daughter that is 12-year-old, or you remember when you yourself were 12 years old, right? How, adventurous you were. You tried to explore the world and the surrounds around you, and Jesus were not different. In the Jewish tradition, the age of 12 was very important. Before the age of 12, the boy was just a child. He was supposed to study, to learn the law, to learn things, about, you know, their traditions, about, you know, the Word of God, and so on, but nothing else. They would help, you know, in the house and do things, as we know that Jesus did. But when they were 12 years old, for the first time, they were allowed to come to the temple. Because during the Jewish year, for three times, every family, every person 12 year older and old and older had to come to Jerusalem. And those feasts were the Passover, which Jesus came, and the other, help me out, what was that? The Feast of the Tabernacle and the Pentecost. Remember the gospel in Acts? When we hear that many were in Jerusalem at the Pentecost feast, those are the feasts that every family got everything together, and they, in the company of relatives, friends, and acquaintances, and neighbors, they all travel to Jerusalem. And that those travel could take days, but they were happy to do that. And when Jesus was 12 years old, can you just imagine? Joseph and Mary, mom and dad, came to him and said, Jesus, you are now a son of God. You are now 12 years old. You're not a child anymore. You are a man. And as a Jewish man, you are going for the first time to Jerusalem. What do you think was the reaction of Jesus? Oh, okay, Jesus. Okay, mom. Okay, dad. I don't picture Jesus doing that. I see Jesus, you know, jumping all around and running and say, yes, I've been waiting this for my whole life. We are going to Jerusalem. And Jesus, you know, texted his friends and said, I'm going to Jerusalem this year. He took that selfie and posted on Facebook and say, hey, who, guess who is going to Jerusalem next week? If Jesus was living today, I think that's what he was going to do. He was like this boy, excited to go to Jerusalem because that meant a lot to him. So Jesus, you know, grabbed his backpack, put a, you know, an extra pair of sandals, his PJs, and socks, underwear, and whatever he had to bring to Jerusalem, because it would take days for him to get there and to be there. And finally, after all the journey, Jesus saw Jerusalem as a human being for the first time. What was going through his mind at the moment? When for the first time he could see the temple that before incarnation, he would make his presence in that temple. I don't know if he had any recollection of that. I don't think so. That was impressing his mind. But now, can you just imagine when for the first time Jesus saw the high priest take the lamb, confess his sins on the lamb's head, and then cutting his, you know, its throat, and putting that little lamb, lifeless, on the altar to be offered to God on behalf of man. Jesus saw all that. And something inside of his heart was pounding fast. Because knowing Scripture, he saw himself. He was seeing in a figure his own mission. He came to die on behalf of mom and dad, on behalf of brothers and sisters, on behalf of everybody in Jerusalem that day. But not only that, after 2,000 years, the members of the Wayne Church and everybody that was attaining, it is attaining the Wayne Church today. Jesus saw himself saving you and saving me. That was impressive. But as I said, Jesus was only 12 years old. As this young boy saw that, he could have run, escaped his mission, and say, no way I'm going to die for all these people. But he embraced his mission as a faithful son of God. But he was only 12 years old. After that, after the big party of the big celebration and everything, after the service was over, Jesus got lost. He was not, you know, just beside mom and dad as a quiet boy and waiting, you know, mom and dad to say, seat, stand up, let's walk. Jesus, you know, he started running all over and get to know everything in Jerusalem. And mom and dad was so distracted, so, you know, enjoying the big celebration and the company of friends. Can you just imagine? There were friends and family in Jerusalem that day that Mary and Joseph hadn't seen in a year. So they were so excited about knowing what was going on, how was the last year, that they got distracted, that Jesus was not with them. The celebration was finished. They packed everything together and they left Jerusalem, thinking that Jesus was following them. And they journey for how long? Does the Bible say? They journey for one day without the presence of Jesus. But they thought that Jesus was there with them, because Jesus would never leave them. But they were without Jesus. They were singing. They were, you know, reciting the Bible. They were smiling and walking and traveling back home, telling, you know, witnessing the blessings of the feast and everything, thinking that Jesus was just nearby. He was a boy. He was with the other kids. He were playing. They were, you know, running and doing kids stuff. The night came, and for their surprise, Jesus was not there. Can you just imagine, as a mother, to think that you forgot your child in New York, and you traveled one day, you drove one day just to realize that you forgot your 12-year-old son in New York? Jerusalem was just like that. It was the biggest city in Israel. But then, all of a sudden, they look at each other and remember that years ago, who had tried to kill Jesus? Herod tried to kill Jesus. There were people that were trying to destroy the life of that boy because knew that he was the Son of God. So Mary and Joseph look at each other. I don't know if they had that little fight blaming each other. I told you, you should hold his hands. No, you always say that he can run, he can go there, he can come here. I don't know. But they came back to Jerusalem seeking Jesus. And the Bible said that they walked one day without Jesus, but they were able to find him only how many days? 3 days after. Do you see the lesson that the gospel presents us? you start your day, your life, your journey, and you think that Jesus is with you because you are a good Christian, because you are a good Seventh-day Adventist, because you have commended your life to Him, and you think that Jesus is always following you. And Jesus is always with you. He's always with me. And you walk your day, your business, and you do your daily activities, your work. You go to, you know, to the gym. You do your exercise. You go to your walks. And you do everything thinking that Jesus is with you. And time passes. It's not just one day. It could be a week. It could be a month, it could be a year, that you think that Jesus is following you. When at some point in your life, you realize that you left Jesus way back in your life. All of a sudden, you just look at yourself and you see that you've been walking, working, doing all your stuff by yourself, that you left Jesus somewhere. The lesson for us today is that wherever you go without Jesus, and if that is one day without Jesus, will take you more to find Him again. It's easy to leave Jesus behind. It's going to be harder to us to find Him again. It's not that Jesus is trying to play hide and seek with us. It's not that Jesus is trying to make things harder for us to find Him. But in our nature, it's easier for us to get distracted, just like Mary and Joseph. You know, you can put your work as more important than anything in your life. You may have a situation going on, a problem, or something in your life that you think that this is more important, that you solve it now before you seek Jesus and make sure that He is with you and you are with Him. And you get distracted by the excitement of, you know, your friends. You get distracted by Facebook, by Twitter, by all kind of social media, because you want to make sure your friends know that you're having a good time as well, just as they are. When you realize that Jesus is not with you, and then the hard situation comes, and you look and you say, Jesus, where are you? You're supposed to take care of me. You're supposed to be here with me. You're supposed to, you know, whenever a hard situation comes, you're supposed to stand between me and that situation and protect me. Where are you? It's going to always take more time. So the best thing you and I can do is to make sure that we are following Jesus and not Jesus following us. Mary and Joseph, they should be following Jesus. God gave them that responsibility to take care of the Son of God. Can you just imagine how many things could have happened to Jesus by Himself in Jerusalem? You can say, oh, nothing was going to happen. He's the Son of God. The angels would protect Him. It's not the same thing with your child. But Jesus have entrusted you to take care of them. Although you may be sure that they have their angels taking care of them, but it's your responsibility to make sure they're receiving the best education, spiritual, you know, a physical education. When they found Jesus, after 3 days of anguish, you know, search. Mary for a moment was relieved, and she went and embraced his son and said, Son, I missed you so much. I'm sorry, we forgot you're here. And as a, you know, an ordinary mother, she rebuked Jesus. Why have you done this to us? Can't you see us? Your dad and I, we have been looking for you for 3 days. Why have you done this to us? And just look at them and, wait a minute. I've been doing what I'm supposed to do all along. I've been taking care of my father's business. And at the same time, was a rebuke to mom and dad. Have you been doing what you're supposed to do? What God has entrusted you to do? To take care of me? Mary knew that she got distracted. Joseph knew that he let, you know, by the excitement of the celebration and forgot their first responsibility. And sometimes, and many times, we do the same. We are carried away easily. As a matter of fact, we look at our lives now and we may ask, where have I left Jesus? Have I been walking all along till now, think that Jesus is following me because I am a good Christian? And when we look and we see that we left him way back. So what shall we do? We should leave everything and go back, because we're going to find Jesus where Mary found him, in God's house. We can find him here today. There is something that Jesus is trying to do in your life. And Satan knows that, and he's trying to distract you of what Jesus wants to do with you. Jesus wants to transform your life into his likeness. He wants to make you just like he is, to have the same feelings, to have the same character, to have the same desires, the same priorities. And he wants to do that with you. But how does that happen? And the Bible text in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18, tells how that is done. And I want to conclude with that. Paul says here in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. He says, but we all, how many? All. We all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. Do you see what Paul is saying here? We can see Jesus face to face today. We can see him, we can touch him, we can hug him, just like Mary and Joseph had the privilege too. But we have this mirror that we can look to and see his reflection and look that reflection and being transformed to what we can see. And this mirror, we see it here in the Word of God. When we spend daily time, when we spend enough time getting to know who Jesus is in his Word, and when we, you know, contemplate, we at the same time, in a mysterious way, I can't explain how that happens. You too are being transformed, just as he is, in the same image. Probably you not notice this transformation, but people around you will notice that. People around you will look at you and say, hey, you're different. I almost don't recognize you. You know, before you used to say these, you know, words that no one's supposed to say, but now look, you're saying just polite and beautiful words. You before never said thank you, but now you're opening the door of the car so I can come in. Wow, this is amazing. And she's going to look at you and say, you never helped in the house, to clean the house. Now you're vacuuming the floor. You're, you know, washing the dishes. What is this? What's wrong with you? Oh, because you're being transformed into the same image from glory to glory. Amen. Into the likeness of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You know, we have a lot to learn from Jesus. As a boy, as a baby, and as a man. But we can only learn if we dedicate time to contemplate this mirror, where we can see ourselves and sometimes be ashamed of what we see. But no matter how hard you try and you go through these pages here, the Lord will give you that grace of transforming you, lapidating you, you know, polishing you, and take away all the, you know, the roughness that you have. And He will make you this precious jewel. Until that day, you reflect Jesus in your own image. Isn't that amazing that you can, you know, from glory to glory, become to this point that people will look at you and see Jesus. They will look at you and say, I don't know what it is, but when I am with you, I feel peace. I don't know what it is, but when I come and I talk to you, I feel full of hope. I don't know what it is. And you're going to be able to say, you know, it's not me, but it's what is in me. Oh, really? What is that? It's Jesus. It's Jesus. And people will say, show me. Take me to that Jesus, because I want to know Him. So my appeal to you this morning is, look at your life, your personal life, and ask this question. Is Jesus here today with me? Have I been following Him all along? Or have I think that He is following me all this time? If you notice that you have left Him somewhere in the past, you know, this same Jesus is waiting for you. And with His arms open wide, He wants to embrace you and say, let's walk together. Let's make this together until the other side. So start today this walk back. It may be hard. It may be shameful. It may be, you know, full of tears and regret and humiliation. But it's worthy. It's worthy. May God bless you as you start all over this journey. As you hold the hand of Jesus and hold it tight and make sure that Jesus is the one leading you and you are the one following Him. This is my prayer. Amen.